When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this particular episode is one of our deep dives. We're going to dive deep into the trailer of Andor. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsuk. I know, the style of the time is to set up a camera in our faces, watch the trailer, and just react and go, duh, we did that on our own. Now we're going to dive deep, all right? And I'm happy to do it.
I can preview what it would have looked like. My face would have been my brow is furrowed out of curiosity. Then my face lit up when I saw gunships. And then my face lit up again when I saw Mon Mothma upset at a party. And then my eyes almost popped out of my skull when I saw a Senate scene. And then I settled back into furrowed brow. And then it was over. I nodded. And then I looked over at you and we both nodded at one another.
Yes, absolutely. It was quite the experience, our first viewing on this here.
Yeah, absolutely great. We talked about it a little bit on our news show of watching this trailer in line for the panel that had just shown this trailer. But what we're going to do today is get into the teaser trailer itself. It was revealed at a Star Wars celebration. But before we even get into the trailer itself, we want to talk about some of the Andor updates that we got both on the panel and floating around in some of those Vanity Fair interviews as well. Showrunner Tony Gilroy announced that the show will premiere on Tuesday, August 31st and run for 12 episodes. Ken, how are you feeling about that episode length and what it means for the show?
I don't think we said this on our celebration roundup. I think you and I actually said this to each other in person, walking down a hallway with maybe the great Brian Ward there as well, how thrilled I am for 12 episodes, because it seems like, wow, so many episodes in this era of 6, 8, 10 episodes. You and I and so many others coming of age in that 26-episode or 22-episode network season. So this is very refreshing. I love that number.
Yeah, me too. I think that we've had a lot of the 6 and the 8 and the 10 for some Marvel stuff. I'm really excited within Star Wars for a different pace of storytelling, that mm-hmm. there's room to really get to know all the people that Cassian knows. So when we see these characters going through struggles, we'll really know it, we'll really feel it. Maybe Lucas has always been such a big proponent of loving the storytelling, of really getting deep into a culture. The idea that we could really spend time in one place and get deep into their culture and their life is really great. And then just structurally, I like that a lot of the 6-episode series kind of have this feeling of they're basically following the beats of a 3-act movie structure. They're one story, not like little mini stories. But I'm excited for something that is not necessarily going to have that structure, that'll probably have little mini arcs within it building to a big season finale.
Yeah, there's that Tony Gilroy quote out there. There's a lot of Tony Gilroy quotes out there. Be careful. He has a tendency to not spoil, just to tell you a lot of information, which is part of the fun, I guess, of being a Star Wars fan, those spoiler landmines. Anyways, he said over 200 characters, 70 named characters, 75 of importance or whatever you want to say. I love that, and that just makes sense for the 12 episodes. We're going to really do that deep dive. Take your time. You're talking about all the reasons you can love it. And then also, you know, as a fan, like, I love Kenobi. We're halfway through it. I'm like, no. So to know that I got a little bit more time in this wonderful Star Wars galaxy, always a good thing for me.
Yeah, if it's really the perspective of the people, I'm excited to get to know the people. So among the many things that Gilroy has said that might be too much for some people, so awooga, awooga, fast forward, 2 minutes if you don't want to hear anything. But he said right out loud in front of everybody that the show will be 2 seasons long, and the second season will end taking Cassian Andor, quote, right into Rogue One. How do you feel about knowing those details ahead of time?
Oddly comforted. Normally I would be like, oh, you don't need Tony, no. But I don't know. It's not even, it doesn't have anything to do with like this era of discussion and discourse and all that stuff and people speculating. I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with it now that I say it out loud. It's comfortable. I know where it's going. We know what happens to Cassian. We all do. So it just feels right that we know a little bit more of what we're going to be dealing with and how we can fill in those blanks.
Yeah, I think I feel the same way. I think like with some of the MCU shows, some of the Star Wars shows, but the MCU shows in particular, there's been this tension of like, is this a one season thing with a maybe, or is this really intended to be more storytelling? Like Loki, they withheld it until the very end where the story clearly didn't resolve. So then they said, Loki season 2, great. With Bad Batch, we got the announcement right before the first season wrapped up. But it was a question that we had almost every week as we were reviewing the show and thinking about the pacing. Is this just the beginning, or is there going to be more? It's kind of nice to go in and say, hey, we're trying to take him all the way from 5 years out to Rogue One to the beginning of Rogue One. We're doing it in 2 seasons. Then as a viewer, you kind of know where you are and you aren't distracted by the will they renew it or that kind of thing. Yeah. And for me, the big picture thing is, if the creator is choosing to tell us that, I want to accept what the creator wants us to know. And for me, it makes it not about the what. We know the what. We know that Cassian is going to feel bad about what he's done and want it to be worth something and make the ultimate sacrifice because it's worth it to him. So it's not about the what. It's about the how. How does he get to that point? So I'm fine with knowing that. And just, this is a march straight to Tivik.
It really is. To the rings of Khafrein we go. Yes.
To the rings of Khafrein we go. All right, let's move into a discussion of the trailer itself. What is your overall reaction? You have said to me many times in the last however many days it's been, I don't know time anymore, since Andor trailer was released, that it's one of your favorite things to come out of Star Wars Celebration. What is hitting you so hard? What is your overall reaction?
I said this to someone at a celebration bar party there, which many were had, clearly. They were like, oh, wow, okay, I wasn't expecting much, but man, this looks great, right? Which was a positive statement, by the way. I was like, yeah, you know what? At Force Center, our take is, this is exactly what we bleep and told you all. This is what it's going to be. And so it wasn't just scratching itches. It was confirmation that just like this era is right for this kind of storytelling, and we're going to get it. The how of the rebellion, how you build the people, the story of the people, this migrant story that Diego Luna keeps saying this is really truly about, at least the story around Cassian. We know we're going to have a lot with Mothma, which excites you and I as well. So all that, take that. And then also just the way it looked. I don't want to bang that, like the time grapple. I don't want to bang the drum of the volume. And sometimes I struggle with the volume and the LED screen they're shooting on, whatever you want to call it. I sometimes struggle with it. I think some fans do. It's getting bigger. It's getting better. There's most scenes I don't even think about it anymore. But there's just something about this trailer that's like, yeah, look at that. This kind of has that like a movie feel. It's not fair to the other shows because I'm enjoying them all. Man, I'm loving Kenobi. But I wanted that for Andor because I think Rogue One has that. Rogue One's a very popular movie, right? Everyone seems to be nowadays loving that movie. And a lot of it is just has that feel. And I wanted this because since it was so tightly connected to Rogue One, I want it to have the same feel. And it looks like that there. And the final thing I'll say, Joseph, remixing a little bit of our bad day on Thursday. We had a little trial and tribulations going on at Star Wars Celebration Thursday morning. This trailer dropped and we were both in line in the overflow for a panel we didn't get into. And we both went, fine, I'll watch it here on my phone. And I just felt so much joy. So much joy. So I have an extra level of love for this trailer.
Yeah, because it was there when you needed it. Yeah, yes. I really agree with what you're saying. I like the look of it. I want variety in Star Wars. The volume doesn't bother me as much. There are moments I notice it, particularly now if I go back to rewatch Mandalorian Season 1. I'm like, oh boy, wow, they've made some massive improvements. There are moments of Kenobi where I'm like, is this in the volume or did they go out to a big grassy hill? I don't know. But there's still, it's not even for me about the technology, it's about the feel. And this is the era of gritty realism. This is the era that, you know, A New Hope was up to a point of, hey, it's space fantasy and there's cool stuff, but it's all broken because of the Empire. It's broken, it's grimy, it's dirty, it's real. So to have it filmed a little bit more that way is really working for the story for me. And then just the overall vibe, this is exactly what I wanted. I did think that we were going to kind of meet Cassian a little bit more already committed to the cause. So that's the bit of new idea that Tony Gilroy talked about. It's not as present in the trailer itself, but everything else is exactly what I wanted. It is a Star Wars story that I know of Imperial oppression, but it's told from this different perspective. I love all of the images in this that are workers, tradespeople, people from a village, from a community, you know, encamped on a river. Part of that probably choice, part of that probably being used and impoverished, but it's all people down close to the earth, you know, rebels, scrappy, trying to fight back. And then in contrast to that, to feel the terror that is stalking Mon Mothma through the elegant halls of power on Coruscant. Both of those images tell me like this is a very complete picture of oppression. From it happens in people's planets, in their villages. It happens in the halls of power. And what is it going to take to fight back from both of those perspectives? It communicates a story that is tonally different because it's an espionage thriller, not a whiz-bang adventure. And it is just, I don't see how you can look at this trailer and not have it scream political. This is about the political reality of what it is to be oppressed by an authoritarian government.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if that P word bothers you, this might not be the series for you. I understand that, but here you go.
Yeah, no, I think that's partially why I'm enjoying talking about it and just wanting to embrace it. I think the P word will be embraced here on Force Center to talk about Andor. Yeah. All right, let's get into the details of the trailer itself. Trailer is 1 minute and 54 seconds long, and it begins with a bearded man in working clothes. According to the subtitles, he is the Time Grappler. He walks into the top of a stone tower, pulls metal tools off the wall, grunts, and bangs out a rhythm on metal. Ken, I love getting to ask you this question. What grabs you about the Time Grappler?
I love when he fought Batman in that run in the 87. He was great. I absolutely love it. And you highlighted the grunt. In repeat viewings of this trailer, which I've had many, the grunt is one of my favorite little moments. Because this trailer is shot together so well, and it comes off as him warning, right? There's this mm-hmm. sense of warning. I don't know. This could just be a trailer moment, right? And this could be his job every day. He grapples with the time for the people of this town, this village, this planet. I tell you when to wake up. I let you know when it's time to go home, all that kind of stuff. And I love that it could be some time, not time, but, you know, like an honored position. Time-honored position, if you will. I guess it was a pun. That's a place, thing of importance in this community, in this culture. And that whatever that is and whatever that means to him, that's where I go. But it's also just, it's really visceral. It's really just stands out as something a little different, but also so part of the Star Wars world that this culture would have this guy. So I'm fascinated. I want the figure already.
Yeah, I love the name Time Grappler. We're talking about, like, this is a little more gritty, down to earth. What's the first character's name? Time Grappler. Okay, good. It's still going to be some good space fantasy Star Wars weirdness, and I will pre-order the Time Grappler, absolutely, with his full metal chime set. Yeah, I like that it's also just this image that is very Star Wars in that it is recognizable. This is totally a, you know, somebody who operates a bell tower physically, and that's something that he does. And I love what you're saying. Maybe it is the hey, wake up. Maybe it is the there's an avalanche. Maybe there's a different tone for time to get off work. But the way that the trailer is constructed, this absolutely looks like a form of cultural communication. Like the song he's playing is "The Bleeps Are Coming," you know, and it's a way of speaking to the people that the people understand, but the Empire doesn't. It feels defiant. It feels like I was just at the a little while back, I was at the Academy Museum, and they've got a great display on how when a lot of Westerns were made, they hired Native actors, but they didn't check in with the Native actors at all what they were saying. And they had some great translations from some Western movies where the Native people in their own language are just slagging off the fancy cowboys who look real tough, and they don't know, and they didn't know until they bothered to ask somebody who speaks the language until years later. But it has a little, there's something about it that has that vibe to me of, we are speaking in a way you can't understand about you.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Both in what it might actually be and the way the trailer's cut together as we move on, we'll discuss it. But, yeah, everything about all the things, you know, you and I talk about, and, you know, the organic versus, non-organic, and just everything about it just has that vibe. I like that word you use, defiant. We know this trailer is essentially a reckoning is coming, that type of vibe. And it starts like that. And that grunt, that sigh could mean everything.
The defiant grunt of the Time Grappler is a great way to begin. Then the Lucasfilm logo appears. There's a low rumbling wind instrument type noise, and it is playing over a montage of images. We see children in an encampment on a river rising up and watching a smoking ship fall from the sky. We see a red droid or droid vehicle roll through what looks like a scrapyard. A group of men in white shirts in a sterile white room turn an alarm. In a green field, people rush to cover up weapons. In a muddy village, a man named Salman Pak yells at a kid to go, then bangs an alarm on a chime as well. And then, Imperial gunships, not Republic gunships, Imperial gunships swoop in toward the planet. Most likely these images are pulled from throughout the show, but they definitely kind of tell a story in the trailer. What's the overall effect for you of this section of the trailer?
Something's coming and something's gonna fall. I think of some of the Revenge of the Sith stuff where they did a good montage of everyone looking up as the body of Vader gets moved up in that chair. Remember that trailer? Then you get to the movie, you're like, hey, none of them were looking at Vader. I love a good classic trailer trick, but it's all just effective. It is the urgency, it is the tension. We know we get this mystery spy thriller coming, but it's just what it's communicating, that there is this a culture or this group of people across maybe many planets having to hide what they're building, and that ship crashing and falling. I actually really love that image. Who knows what that will actually mean, but it's just kind of this this big, big ship in the sky, threatening them all, this danger that's coming. And, I just love that. And then the sterile, all the guys in the white uniforms, sterile, you know, what that might end up being, prison planet. There's another shot that makes me think that maybe this is scientists being forced to work. I don't know, or be forced to do experiments. I don't know. But just they have the other thought of, you know, to me, and this is just my interpretation of the shot of just like worry, but a different kind of worry.
Yeah, no, it feels like there's a little something different going on, but it is all people kind of turning in alarm, and it gives this this overall feel of a sense of doom coming, right? It really is the Empire's coming, and I think it's what makes me feel like that the drumming is the beginning of this worry, this warning that, you know, the doom is coming. And then I think the fact that this ends with the image of gunships, which, yeah, the Republic and the Jedi falling into the tragedy the Clone Wars is sort of presented is, you know, a manipulation by Palpatine. But we as fans have come to recognize that's where Obi-Wan and Anakin banter. Ahsoka's learned some important lessons. That's where our brave clones swoop in to save people and to have all those hours of, yeah, I love the gunship, the hero ship, to have that turned on its head. And that's the doom that's coming, at least the way this clip is constructed, is the gunships. That's really effective.
Yeah, right there with you on that. It's a great shot. I have it frozen right now looking at it. It says that Star Wars kind of cool, but then with what? The should we say the good baggage it carries that turns into bad baggage? I don't know how to describe that, but yeah, absolutely. And just love the use of it there, and love those kind of little canon callbacks too.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else within these images that you wanted to talk about that particularly grabbed you?
It is just it's the look of it. It's the colors. Just looking at the outfits, the green, even the kid next to you. What's that guy's name ringing the bell?
Salmon Pack.
Salmon Pack. He's got the kid. He's got like a space Star Wars hoodie on. it's all of his world. It's just I'm already taken by the production design of this project.
Yeah, I think I was just taken by the name, right? Like, okay, it's subtitled. We know this character's name. He's shouting go to, a younger person. So you get that sense of trauma and danger. You get the sense that you know, chime is a different kind of alarm, at least in the trailer. It is sort of added to the drumming in the tower and becoming this growing sound of reckoning between the drumming. But it is effective in that, like, here's another cultural alarm that something's coming. But honestly, just seeing the name Salmon Pack is a way to, if I just saw this trailer normally, you'd be like, yeah, that's a guy who's on screen and is in trouble for 5 seconds before Cassian steps into frame.
Right.
But knowing, like, we're probably going to meet Salmon Pack. We're probably going to meet his kids and we're going to feel their trauma. This is a weird thing to say I'm excited about, but imagine that if we knew everyone on the streets of Jedha and we spent time with them. That's what it makes me think about. Of if we know that character's name, we're gonna really feel this trauma.
They're the 12 episode time frame to really get to know Mr. Pack
in the 70 however many speaking roles. Next we cut to the alarmed faces of workers. More time grappler strike in metal shades closing on a shop. Stormtroopers marching through the village. A group of what I believe are Imperials in red and gray coming to a youth's door. And finally, Andor lurking around a corner as more troopers march past. What's powerful to you about this section? Any specific image grab you here?
There's that one shot of this woman's blonde haired woman just kind of sitting there whittling, mind her own business. But that look she gives to the stormtroopers, the look that something's about to happen, a look that she's got to keep secret. Very much Rogue One Jedha vibes, right? Right before the Partisans attack. Just kind of love it. And then seeing the classic stormtroopers there and knowing that something bad's about to go down. I don't know. Just a little Star Wars, little nerd chill moment there of a fight that's about to explode.
Yeah. I think for me, I just am really breaking it down, appreciating how well constructed this trailer is, that the first bit is the alarm from the time grappler. Then we're seeing people kind of looking up and ships coming down. And now the Empire has landed. The doom has landed. And now they're marching through people's lives with those the shop, you know, gate being closed. I'm very curious about that gray and red group. They were coming to the youth's door. To me, looking at their caps look very Imperial. So I'm wondering if there's some sort of local security force, or if they are prison guards with your guess, or, you know, are they even like cadets or officers recruited out of the community? Are these the people, if we're getting this intimate of a story, it's like, are these the people who bought in, signed up, and now they're turning around and terrorizing their own neighbors?
I've gone with that in my head because we know from some of Gear Wars comments we're going to spend a lot of time in this adopted home world of casting, and that just kind of makes some sense. I thought of some of the people in the Coronet Spaceport in Solo, right, who are wearing Imperial outfits or like outfits, but really they're, the local. They're almost contracted, not directly working for the Empire, but serving the needs. And so that makes a lot of sense. And what a great amount of attention you could pull from locals who are like, I'm in, screw it, or there's no other way. And this is what we got going on here. Now they're pulling people, their own people, maybe possibly out of their community.
Yeah, no, for me, it also is, not a secret or a subtle thing that some of the inspiration for the Empire is Nazis,
Yeah.
So it just gets me thinking of like these stories of like, you watch Sound of Music and, watch somebody who is, you think is a friend join up and suddenly become not a friend and become a threat,
Yeah. 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 So, absolutely.
Yeah. That's really powerful and interesting to me. Next up, Cassian speaks. In a voiceover, he says they're so proud of themselves, so fat and satisfied. The dialogue comes over an image of an Imperial Council wearing white uniforms, sitting around a circular table in a stark white room, and two Imperial officers calmly drinking caff out of their Imperial to-go mugs. We see a woman running through the village in more time grappler banging. The Cassian quote and caff image seems to be a real hit. I remember just walking down the halls of Star Wars Celebration and hearing people going like, hey, that image where they're drinking coffee. Does that image strike a chord with you? And if so, why?
I love it. I'm trying to analyze why. I do own one of those mugs, at least one on the Death Star that you can get at Downtown Disney and Galaxy's Edge. I don't know. We've never really seen the Empire like this, quite frankly. Because no one's taking sips out of those mugs at the Death Star meeting. I love that line. And it's such a thesis statement what this show's going to be. You get the shot before with the guys in the white outfits. Could they be Imperial Security Bureau or something else? We don't know. But you got the great Anton Lesser revealed to be part of the cast. Love that. So great as Qyburn in Game of Thrones. But that shot of them, I got it frozen right now, Joseph. They got smug little faces. And we've talked about the themes. We've talked about the oppression of the Empire. This is one of the first times you actually just kind of feel it. Like things are going great. It's like this and Krennic's, oh, it's beautiful as he wipes out an entire planet, essentially. It's got that same kind of just like, just another day oppressing the galaxy. Yeah, coffee's good.
Yep. Yep. No, I totally agree with what you're saying. I also took a screenshot of it like immediately on my second viewing of the trailer because there's something really powerful about it. Cassian's line, they're so proud of themselves, so fat and satisfied. I think it's just like this very understandable from Cassian, anger at the ruling class that they don't work anywhere near as hard as the people that they are judging as less than them. Right.
Yeah.
Like, this idea of like, hey, if anybody on the planet that Cassian's on wanted calf, they would work and they would fight for it, right? And it's just handed to these people, and they think because it's been handed to them, it makes them better than the people who work and fight for what they need. Just that one line is extremely like, oh, Cassian's going to unionize, It's really, really powerful and fun to see these different versions of the Empire that we've featured this a lot in books and comics, right?
Yeah.
The different kinds of Imperials. I think in the movies we've mostly seen, maybe some bumbling from Ozzel and things like that, but we've seen military leaders. And these are the guys who are just like, you just, go to business meetings. Yeah. Those go in particular. You mentioned the ISB. Any other hopes or guesses on what that White Council group is?
I was thinking this today about what if it's like, if it is ISB, but it's a group of Imperials just kind of tracing who's rebelling. What cultures are fighting back? Not necessarily in the organized rebellion, but we know that's important. We know I'm thinking of Lothal, right? It was just like this really isolated uprising, and we got to snuff that flame out before it catches fire around the galaxy type of vibe. So it's like a group of Imperials trying to track that and make sure the oppression's working and that we're not letting spirits not get broke. You know what I mean? We got to break them all.
Yeah, I like that idea. I also like that there may be like some experimental projects group that they're overseeing. You know, I always think there's more room for Palpatine. You know, obviously he's working on the Death Star, but he's got a lot of other stuff going on. And are they mining on this planet for some specific purpose? Or, you know, all that stuff. Really excited to see what that actual idea is in the show. But just aesthetically, I really do love that it is this old school dystopia. This contrast between the gritty, down to earth vibe, old organic materials, stone and brick, you know, and wood that we're seeing down on the planet, in contrast with this absolutely pristine, perfect white room. It's more like 70s dystopia. It's more THX 1138. And I really like seeing that.
Yeah, 100%. Bob Duvall's running around there somewhere.
Exactly. And on that beautiful note, picture Bob Duvall running. We're going to take a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And we are back to continue our discussion of the Andor trailer. We move from the Imperials drinking their calf to Coruscant. We hear Mon Mothma say, "They're everywhere. They're watching me now." She speaks over an image of exterior elevators on a Coruscant skyscraper, a blonde woman Imperial marching with two death troopers, a speeder door closing as Mothma looks nervous inside the speeder. A great shot of Mothma at a party or gala in a burnt sienna dress. A smile falls from her face and she looks nervous. This little clip, I think, thrilled everyone that I spoke to, and it seems to just speak volumes. what's it saying to you, this section of the trailer?
Man, this is is it my favorite section? It might be. This whole thing of the woman running the ground. I think that might be Adria. What's her name? Adria Arjona. Maybe. Could be not. Could not be. Don't take my word for it there. Could be not be. I'm just making words up and phrases here. I'm so excited to get to Mothma. But from there, on the ground, running, the time grappler, you literally are looking up, right? You're looking up into the rarefied air, Coruscant. Mm-hmm. And now we take the battle up there. And I think I'm so excited. I was so excited to learn from Tony Gilroy that there's going to be more Mothma, that is kind of the story running parallel. And then you and I kind of being surprised with others that it starts farther back in Cassian's story. So it's not like he's up there necessarily right away running around for Mothma or with Mothma. So everything about that, just that we're traveling to Coruscant, literally going, taking the elevators up or moving on up, but it ain't going to be Jefferson fun here. I was really pulled in by this. Denise Gao showing up with the Death Troopers. Just every Imperial in here is perfect. Perfect. Love all that. I made mention on Alex and Molly's podcast that they had us on at Star Wars Celebration. Just the whole stuff with Mothma. I made the joke of the Carly Simon I'm So Vain opening riff. You just got the Mothma walking through a party, knowing it's about her, though, knowing the tensions around her, and that smile fading to worry. It's just my favorite 10 seconds of the trailer.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I think one key word for me is espionage. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been told that this is a thriller, and a lot of the stuff in the village looks like it is a kind of thriller where, like, some of these people are resisting. They are having a meeting out in a field, and they have to cover the blasters when the Imperials are coming, and that's a kind of espionage. But the espionage in the halls of power, this idea that we're going to really see what Mothma is trying to do within the Senate that can make a difference, or at 5 years out from this, just a couple years out from when she walks away from the Empire and makes her speech to the galaxy, bringing the rebels together that we see in the television show Rebels. We're not that far away from it. So at this point, is she the Empire doesn't function anymore. You can't get anything past Palpatine. We're a machine for oppression. And I'm just trying to stay in so I know what's going on. And I'm a senator, but I'm basically a spy, and everybody basically knows it. And if I say one wrong word, if I'm seen in the wrong corridor, if at a party someone sees me pick up the wrong hors d'oeuvre, they'll know that I'm talking to this person. You know, holding somebody's gaze slightly too long at a cocktail party could mean death. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, and even whether, again, it's a trailer cut or not, you got this Imperial and the Death Troopers looking. She's looking up. And watch, and then the next shot is Mothma's little speeder coming in. Just the implication of the Empire is absolutely watching. That's the quote. That's the dialogue there. The tension cranks it up a bit in this spy thriller. Just again, a really effective part of the trailer for me.
Yeah, and I said this also on Alex and Molly's podcast, and I think probably on our news podcast. I really do like the idea that if these are parallel narratives until Mothma and Cassian meet, that Cassian's story is, you know, on the ground with a community, the people who are actively suffering, being moved from place to place. Gilroy's described it, and Andor and Diego Luna has described it as a refugee story. If we're seeing that we also see this story with Mothma of a privileged person who could just decide to go along with the Empire, and her personal life would probably be pretty cozy and nice if she went along with it. So the fact that we're going to see the sacrifice that a privileged person in the galaxy is making because of her commitment to restoring peace and justice in the galaxy is cool.
Yeah, I keep saying that, you know, the upstairs and downstairs of it all, of the same building, the same story, the same fight.
Yeah, and are we going to see some temptation from her to say, I know that I'm right, I know I believe in this, but maybe I should give up? Intriguing stuff. As well as other people have many have noticed many, many Mothma gowns. Great time.
Yes.
Great time for Mothma gown fans.
New Mothma figures on the way.
Ooh, I cannot wait for You're So Vain party. Mothma. With frowning action. Next, we cut back to a verdant planet, green hills over a river gorge, an encampment of rebels with blasters, and a man named Luthen, played by Stellan Skarsgård, looks at what appears to be an Imperial mining operation, And Luthen says, soon enough, these days will end. There will be no rules going forward. Do you have any hopes or dreams about Luthen?
Yes, he is close friends with Saw Gerrera. Maybe he's had a conversation, too, with Infus Nest and feels that the only way to tear this down is to just destroy it all. And maybe he's not wrong. Maybe he's not right. We'll find out. Love this shot. Love the sequence. Love the shot of this village here with his what we might think are the people around him. It just looks so raw and so desperate, but not afraid to take action. Just has all that kind of going around it.
Yeah, no, I think it's, for me, my main curiosity is he just best friends with Saw Gerrera? You know, is he saying these things to Saw Gerrera? Or, and if he is in the same general camp, how is he going to be differentiated as a character? Because there is just like huge amounts of Saw Gerrera. There are no rules, burn it all down, you know, fight dirty, use their tactics, all that kind of perspective. Which is great because we know it's the, if he's a mentor figure to Cassian, we know that that's the kind of choices that Cassian made that he's then wrestling with in Rogue One and saying, you know, I need all of those things to be worth it. I need them all to be for the greater good ultimately. So I didn't just do all these awful things for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just love just what he's looking at and the Imperial facilities. It, again, very Rogue One vibe is what we want, what we should be. It just looks great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that Imperial mining equipment. It was great to get it in Kenobi this week as well, but I'm very excited for this story. Is made so clear in the publishing, in the books, in the comics that, yeah, the Empire just destroys everything it touches to take out of it what Palpatine wants, and I'm really excited to see it in live action and to see Luthen pointing it out and complaining about it.
Yeah.
So next up, we see what looked like a multiple Imperial base submerged in water, sterile halls, more people in white shorts with orange sleeves walking across Imperial skyways. An intense young man stares at a hollow of Cassian Andor's face. What are you making of these Imperial images? It sounds like you had some good conversations or guesses about those people in white with orange stripes.
It doesn't look happy, right? it just seems like, you know, whether it be forced labor camp, a nice way of saying it, or whatever you want to do, to me, it's a example of what's going on with the Empire, the impression that's in the galaxy. But it's being it that in a different locale, obsessed with what they might be doing. Like you talked about projects or special projects, could it be related to the Death Star? I don't know. Maybe it's the early rumblings of that. It's just, I don't know, just the image. It's just a stark, desolate kind of wasteland of its own.
Yeah, no, I'm really curious about them. They look to me like somebody who is being forced to work. Like, I think all of them marching through the hallways just kind of look like this is your depressing workplace underground, and we have, you know, bunkers for you to go to when you're not working. But that shot earlier of them when they're turning an alarm toward the very beginning of the trailer, it has a little bit of like they're professionals and they're being made to use their skills in a way that, you know, they don't necessarily want to.
Absolutely. Cue Bodhi Rook, Galen Erso cameos, right? No.
Exactly. We'll finally get the Bodhi driving Galen around and having their talks, driving Mr. Erso that we want. And then what do you make of this intense young man staring at the hollow of Cassian Andor's face? Is that just a fun trailer moment for you, or do you sense something deeper, like this person has a specific issue with Cassian?
Well, yeah, if he's part of this local police force or something, and this is some information he's getting, maybe he grew up with Cassian, maybe he's part of the same community, or maybe he's just a target he's going to get. And it's also like a younger, I know it's a hologram version, but it's like a younger, weird, different looking version of Cassian from maybe a time ago. And he always, you know, we know he's been in the fight since he's 6 years old, but he's obviously going to, how that fight is plays out and how involved he is maybe what we're going to find out here. So to me, this is maybe after he's made a little bit more of a commitment along the way or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think even if Cassian isn't committed to the fight, he hates the Empire.
He's in it. Yeah, he's in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe he is, you know, stealing or, you know, not doing anything proactive to, like, build a rebellion and stop the Empire, but that he's breaking rules, getting into trouble, you know, totally, to keep himself alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So next we see a montage of even more drumming, building to a crescendo, a burning village, Mothma in the Imperial Senate with Palpatine's dais in the background. I tried to zoom in, and it's just pixels, but could Palpatine be there? Then someone named Marva says, people are standing up. We see many different figures from behind marching, a speeder exploding and flipping in the streets, a TIE fighter being stolen, Cassian piloting some kind of ship, and Marva, once again, we see her, now physically, an older woman saying, that's what a reckoning sounds like. And finally, we see the title Endor appear on a broken and chipped beige wall. So first, let's just talk about the Sheev in the room. With that Senate shot, what do you hope to see?
Sheev. I hope to see Sheev. I hope to hear him and see him. You and I have been talking about, yes, absolutely makes sense for him to show up in Kenobi. The time is recording. We don't know if he will show up or not. We're halfway through. We got Bad Batch trailer. He shows up. So maybe McDermott's doing the voice there. But this is the perfect spot for it. Even if it's just this one shot. Even if he's just giving an old Chancellor Palpatine kind of a fake speech. I really want to see it. And just to have Mothma there to witness it, how far they've fallen, how far they must go to defeat this monster. I really think it's a good spot to use him.
Yeah, I really hope to see you just full Sheev. Yes. I want to see both him in the Senate running government. And then I'd also like to see, since it appears as though we're spending time on Coruscant, manipulated public appearance that has been established in books and video games that, you know, when he initially announces the Empire and Revenge of the Sith, he has the excuse that the Jedi have left him scarred and deformed. But that it's somewhere along the way, he decides to Emperor's new hologram himself and put out images of himself as younger and more powerful. And I would love to see, you know, if like in the Senate, he's just Sheev and people know not to speak of it, but then out in the streets, the projected image is, you know, or if it's something where he does literally use a holo kind of on top of himself.
Ooh, I like that. I like that idea.
Yeah, because I think there was some stuff like that in Rebels I need to rewatch of his appearance shifting, right?
It's been a while for me too, but I believe you're right. And I think in Battlefront 2, there's some stuff that going on there as well, right?
So I'd love to see all that in live action. I will refresh my canon on Sheev appearance. But the other thing that I really want to see is there's been a storyline throughout Star Wars since A New Hope that in order to keep everything working the way he wants, he can't just wipe out the Senate. He has to continue to manipulate them and he has to be a little reined in. And I think that has even continued with the Kenobi television show where people are reacting to Reva kidnapping an Imperial senator's daughter is you can't do things like that because we have to kind of keep this false face of decorum toward the powerful in the Senate alive because they're kind of needed for Sheev's grand plan, for Sheev's grand manipulation. So this idea that Mothma, Bail, any other heroes can't get anything done through the Senate, but also Sheev is a little bit still got to play chess and keep the Senate pretending like they're a part of the decision-making process. I would love to see that exact manipulation in action.
Yeah, to actually see it play out and see how Mothma, Bail, or others have to work around that. Yeah, and work within that and try to overcome it. Yeah, it's great stuff. Fertile ground for wonderful storytelling. Again, the politics of it all is going to be right in your face. But I'm with you. So I'm trying to temper my excitement for too much Sheev.
Yeah, it might be a blurry Sheev in the background with no dialogue, and that might be it, and I will accept that as well. But I have deep, Sidious dreams.
Yes.
What to you is the power of the final montage of violent images, conflict exploding into full action, combined with Marva's reckoning line?
What, you know, if it was about the darkness in this story, you'd think it's like a Wes Anderson character introduction edit, just all these shots of over everyone's shoulders. And I really love it. It's effective. Again, this is a wonderfully put together trailer. To me, it's just you're looking out and at how all these people see the galaxy and see what's going on in the galaxy right now. And what view do you connect with? What view's the best view? Can you change your view? All those kind of things, just that rhythm, just the great cuts, boom, 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 the Senate chamber, this and that, that the Imperial Troopers special new helmets, or it looks like more like driver helmets. So new toy for Ken to buy. Then the open air one. I just love the rhythm of that as the time grappler keeps grappling.
Yeah, me too. I really like the point you're making about all these different perspectives that this conflict is kind of happening at different levels everywhere. I think watching it and hearing Marva's line about this is what a reckoning sounds like, my mind just goes to Leia's line of, you know, more star systems will slip through your fingers. It's about like the inevitability of it. The more you crunch down, the more you oppress people, the more they're going to fight back. And I think that's what's powerful to me about the trailer is with the time grappler through line of at first, it sounds like, yes, these are the tones I play for this meaning for this culture. But then that other little warning chime that Salman Pack hits comes in and it builds to this drumming. And it's like the time grappler's drumming is the truth of this is what a reckoning sounds like. The more the Empire pushes down, the more this fighting spirit rises up and we see it and hear it and feel it largely to me through that soundtrack slowly building from the bit of the defiant grunt to the just rising chorus of resistance, of rebellion.
Yeah, right there with you. Fiona Shaw delivering that line there. It's a kind of a chill-inducing moment for me. Just what this is what the series is going to be about. It's what the rebellion is about. And I know I'm more fascinated in this time period than others, but to see it explored in this way, it just gets excited. Yeah, and again, just one of my favorite Star Wars trailers. Just everything you talk about, the pounding, the rhythm, the sound, the trailer kind of creates its own music as well as the music that's there. And it leads this wonderful line, wonderful, wonderful bit.
Yeah, no, and I really like seeing the different kinds of Star Wars storytelling, seeing how they overlap. I'm so enjoying Kenobi because it is so lightsabers, you know, the light side versus the dark, the connections in the Force, the, you know, found family, all these kind of really great elements of Star Wars. And then to see like where it overlaps with the Andor trailer about, you know, discussing how the Empire ravages planets and breaks up communities. But this is the soldiers, right? This is the individual human beings who form and fight the rebellion in this, you know, gritty, real place. It is great to see that contrast and to see that variety in Star Wars.
Absolutely. Big one.
How do you feel about the fact that Andor himself is not in the trailer a ton?
I'm glad you brought that up. It did strike me as first as like, oh, interesting. And could this be another case of a mistitled show? But I really don't think so. I think even with over 75 important roles or whatever Gilroy said, it all funnels back to him. And it might include some of the Mothma stuff here too. And so to spend less time with him in this trailer just means you're really aware of the people around him and how much that will matter to him. How much there'll be about him getting over himself to join the bigger fight, to commit to that, as we said, to not just not like the Empire, but to actively resist it, to be part of that. And how much will that come from his connection or at times maybe lack of connection to those around him? That's what I took from it and was fine with that in the end. Because, you know, come on, who doesn't want more Diego Luna on your screen? wanted to get a little bit more from him, but this just sets the tone in the world that he's going to be in, growing from and growing with and emerging from.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think this is, I know this weekend, Filoni used the term tone poems for the Tales of the Jedi animated shorts, but this teaser trailer for Andor very much felt tone poem of this is the world he lives in. These are the stakes. These are the choices. Do you just go along with this? Do you just try to survive for yourself? Or do you join up and do you become part of the reckoning? So I felt like, yeah, it was setting up the stage on which the character of Andor is going to make his choices. And I'm happy with it being an ensemble show, but I still at the end of the day want Andor to be the main character, you know, Mothma up there too. But, you know, Andor being the main character that we travel through this journey with, I'd be very happy with. And, you know, hey, it's named after him, so I think there's some good odds.
Yeah, good odds. I like them odds.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on the trailer or the show itself?
Nah, it's just one of the more complete trailers. I know it's a teaser trailer, so I can't wait till we get actually, you know, some more to break down. But it just sets the tone. It just makes me just excited because this is exactly what I wanted. And, you know, it's always dangerous. So I'm going to loose, let loose the grip there a little bit to make sure I can be open to what they're telling me. But I'm not kidding, man. I just watching it there in the convention hall next to you while we're waiting in that line. I just thought, okay, I'm having a bad morning. It doesn't matter. The Andor I definitely want to dive into is coming.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, I just always love when Star Wars can feel both old and new. This feels like it is dealing with classic Star Wars themes, even some, familiar images like that, 70s dystopian white room, the stormtroopers marching, rugged rebels with hidden blasters, some stuff that we've definitely seen before. So we have that sense of the classic. But we also have this strong sense of the new, that this is going to be a different style of storytelling. It's going to be a massive cast, an ensemble show with Andor in the lead, and it's going to be a thriller, and there's going to be espionage. It's going to be different, and I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, that buffet's got some chicken wings. I'm going to take a big bite of here.
Exactly. I am so happy for Danger at a Cocktail Party. So with that, you want to let people know where they can find us?
Yeah, thanks for listening. We're the Force Center Podcast feed. We can be found on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. You can find our Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. You can get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. You can get a merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. Podcasts can be found in a lot of different spots, but if you're listening on Apple Podcasts and you haven't given us a review, hey, go ahead and give us a review and a like and a rating and all those good things, and help grow the show. You can follow me at Catnapsock, or go to my website, catnapsock.com, for more information on other things I do, including my music show, Pop Rock and Radio, on Mixcloud. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for even more adventures. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for the grunt of the time grappler, this has been Force Center.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.